You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The topic today is a very interesting technical halachic shiur, and that is when you look in the sugya in the Masechta Shabbos that discusses the Yom Tov of Chanukah itself in the Braisa, we find something interesting, something fascinating that you don't find in many of the other mitzvos, the Raisa Udarabanan that we perform, Kol HaShana Kula. And what is the unique phenomenon? We find that there seems to be in the Gemara three different levels of how to mekayim this mitzvah derabanan of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. And just to quote and paraphrase the two lines that are crucial over here, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beisa, there's a primary level of one candle per family per night. So that would mean for the 8 days of Chanukah, a whole family would light every night one candle to commemorate the miracle of that day. And that one candle represents the whole household over here, whether you have one person there or 10 people there or 100 people there. That was what's called level one of the Kima Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You then have a level two, which is called the Mahadran, where each and every night, what you're going to do is light the candles not according to the number of days, but according to the number of people in the family. So if you have 10 people in the family, the first night you're going to light 10 candles. And quite obviously, the second night, you're going to also light 10 candles, which means you basically light the same as that candle each and every night, but you light it according to the amount of people in the audience of that house. But then we have level number three called the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin, where over here you basically, according to this, on the first night, according to Beis Hillel, where we paskin, you light one candle. And on the second night, you're going to light two candles. Fourth night, you light four candles. On the eighth night, you light eight candles. You're Moisef HaHolich. And this seems to be being done for the entire family that are assembled at the Hadlakas Neros in the house itself. So there are three different levels of Kiyum HaMitzvah. But what I'm going to share with you today is that it's deeper than that. That in actuality, there's the Yesedis Dechamakloches between the Balei Tesis and Rashi on one side, the Rambam and his group on the other side, of whether or not level two, we are lighting according to the B'nai Beiso each and every night, whether that is going to be then supplemented with level number three, if you want to do level number three, that you are most of a hoylech each and every day from day one on. And the practical ramification would be that if you hold Ashitas Rashi and Tosfos, we'll see why they hold this way, you have a choice. Once you go above one candle per family per night, you have a choice when it comes to Mahadran to either lighting the number of candles according to the B'nai Beis, so the same number every night for 8 days. If you have a 10-member family, you're going to light 10 candles each and every night. Or you have a choice to do the Mahadran and Mahadran, where you're not going to light according to the B'nai Beis, so, but according to Rashi and Tosfos, what you're going to do is the first night, no matter how many people are there, you'll light one candle for the household, and the second night, two on behalf of the household, and by day eight, eight. But that's all you light, according to Shitas, Balei Tosfos and Rashi, because in their mind, level two or three are two alternatives to the Hidur Mitzvah, up and above the bare minimum of Ner Echad Ishu Beisa. That's Shitas Rashi and Tosfos. When you come into the Rambam, who deals with this in the Halachos of Chanukah, in his Mishneh Torah, he basically has a different approach. In his mind, the concept of Mahadran and Mahadran and Mahadran are actually combined into one big Hidah HaMitzvah in the following fashion. The Rama says, if you're into the Mahadran and the Mahadran, and you have a family of 10 people, the first night you're going to light 10 candles. The second night you're going to light 20 candles. By the time you come to night number 8, you're going to light 80 candles. So you're going to have a combination of Mahadran and Mahadran and a Mahadran taking place according to the Shitas Rambam and those who follow. So we therefore see that there seems to be some Yisaidistic machlokes between Tosis and Rashi on one side and the Rambam and his Chevra on his side of what in fact is the Yisod, the concept of Hidur Mitzvah that applies to the concept of celebrating the Yom Tov of Chanukah and celebrating the miracles that take place. That halach lamas, according to these groups of Rishonim, there is a different understanding of the nature of Hidur Mitzvah when it comes to a Rashi and Tosfos understand it and according to the way the Rambam understands it. And therefore, the first thing I'm going to do is bring my Rebbe into the picture, my Rebbe Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, who Bayas and Aishu, we used to call him the Rav, who gives a very, very important Yisaidistik HaMachlokes between Rashi and Tosfos on one side and the Rambam and his Chabur on the other side, which have many dafkaminis halach lamasa, which I'm also going to explore in the shiur this morning. So let me get into this. The way Rosh Soloveitchik explained the machlokes is the following, and he starts with Rashi and the Baruch Tesis. He says the din of Hidur Mitzvah, the regular din of Hidur Mitzvah, which is mentioned in the Gemara and Shabbos, based upon the pasuk we say in Oz Yashir, Ze Keli V'Anveyu, and the Gemara Darshins, what does that mean? Hisna L'Fanya Bar Mitzvahs, that when you do Hashem's mitzvahs, you have to do the mitzvahs in the most beautiful fashion you possibly can. Writing a Sefer Torah has to be written with beautiful script by an excellent sofer, Luvan Esrog, by the best and finest Luvan Esrog you possibly can have. Build the most beautiful sukkah, pair of tefillin, makes the most magnificent, beautiful pair of tefillin. Whatever cheftza of mitzvah you are basically going to make, it has to be done with tremendous beauty, tremendous tiferes, to show the love and chavivas, the owner of that cheftza shemitzvah has for the mitzvah he's performing. But that's a din in the actual concept of Hidur Mitzvah that applies b'chol Teira Kula, but the concept of that Hidur Mitzvah according to Rav Soloveitchik is a din of a extrinsic concept of Hidur superimposed upon the Iker Mitzvah. The Mitzvah can be done with something less beautiful, but you don't want to do with something less beautiful. You want to do something with more beauty to show your love of Hashem and love of the Mitzvah. See your Mahada, a Hidur Mitzvah, you give additions to it, but it's an extrinsic phenomenon to the Iker Kiyam HaMitzvah. That's basically the sheet of Rashi V'Tosfos. And according to them, Rosh Soloveitchik says, there's a certain Yisod which Tosfos points out. When you are being Mahada into a Mitzvah because you want Mahada Mitzvah as an extrinsic phenomenon, the actual Hidur Mitzvah has to be recognizable not only to yourself, but to other people that are viewing the mitzvah that you're doing in a mahudadik way, for them to appreciate what time and effort you put in into being mahadah and to understand the nature of the Hidur Mitzvah that you extrinsically connected to the mitzvah. So the Baal HaTosfos say, based upon this, When the Gemara talked about the Ika Mitzvah Ish Ner Ubeiso, one candle per family per night, and that's talked about Hidurim, these Hidurim have two options which are extrinsic, and the Bali Taisis felt that you either have option number two, and that is to have each and every night candles lit according to the number of people in the household. So if you have 10 people, 10 candles are lit each and every night to correspond to the people in the household as an extrinsic phenomenon, which can be viewed by other people. Oh, this family has 10 people, 10 candles in the window. We understand what the hiddur is. But when it comes to Mahadim and Hadim, if you want to go a little differently in a different hiddur mitzvah, you don't light the candles according to the number of people in the household, but your most of a halacha, in order to emphasize the hiddur, is not in the people participating and the candles being lit for them, but the people who are trying to mahader and explain the manner, the magnificent nest that took place, that shemesh that should have lasted for one day, lasted for 8 days, according to the Mahadrim and Ahadrim halacha, according to Beis Hillel, you light one candle even for a 10-member household the first night. The second night, you light a second candle. The third night, a third candle. And you most of a halach until on the eighth night, you light 8 candles. So when people see each and every night you're eating one candle, they understand the hiddur mitzvah is we're not sufficing with just one candle per night per family, but to emphasize the magnificence of the miracle that the candle stayed lit in a magical level, a miraculous level, for 8 days. Each day was a greater miracle. That we have over here, oil that shall last 1 day, lasts 2 days, then 3 days, 4 days, up to 8 days. To be Maisav Ahiluch, to be Mahader, on that specific miracle phenomenon, that's another option, but the amount of people in the household does not emphasize. So when people see each every night you're adding an extra candle, they understand the nature of this Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. Tosfos felt that if you do both together, that you light each every night, most of the Hiluch and the candles, but according to the B'nai Beiso, people outside will not know when you're lighting 2 candles the second night. Is it because you want to be most of a Hiluch, like Shita number 3, Mahadrim Mahadrim? Or you're lighting 2 candles because there are 2 people in the household, and if you're lighting per person. So when you have a hiddur mitzvah that's extrinsic, we apply b'chola teira kula. Rav Soloveitchik points out, based upon the makaris and shas that deal with this, it has to be visible and understandable by the people outside while you're lighting all the candles you're lighting, to understand the message of what you're being mahadar in, either in the a correlation to the people of the household, a correlation to the Moisev HaHilach of the miracle each and every day, and therefore to do both of them together, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, will be contradicting each other, and therefore that's not the way to go. And Shitas HaBalitaisis and Shitas Rashi. The Ram, however, has a different Mahalach entirely. In his mind, when we do the Hidur Mitzvah on the night of Chanukah, we are allowed, and the ideal way of Mahadrim and Ahadrim is to basically combine 2 and 3 together, that you do Mahadrim and Mahadrim the same exact time, which would therefore mean that the first night, if you have 10 people in the family, you're going to light 10 candles. On the second night, you're going to light 20 candles. By the time you get to night number 8, you're going to light 80 candles. So you're combining the concept of Mahadrin and Mahadrin as a practical application in each and every Jewish household. So the obvious question is, why isn't the Rambam concerned with the problems of Rashi and Tosfos, especially Tosfos, that people might not understand why in the world you're lighting so many candles? Does it correspond to people? Does it correspond to the most of a halach of the Nes itself, like Beis Hillel? It seems the Rambam is not concerned about that. And the question is why. So comes along Rav Soloveitchik and he says, I have a very simple answer for you. It's not so simple, but it's a very, very lumdish answer. But the Rambam's been mechadish halach lamasa that the din of hiddur mitzvah when it comes to Chanukah is not the normal din of hiddur mitzvah we find b'chol ha-Torah kula of zekeli vanvehu. No, that's not what we're doing when it comes to hiddur mitzvah of Chanukah, because if that's the case, we should be limited on how much we have to spend and how many candles to use to mahadah something, because normally speaking, when it comes to hiddur, it's not supposed to go over a third of the cost and expense that's needed for the hiddur mitzvah to take place. Over here, when it comes to doing the hiddur mitzvah for Chanukah, if you use the Rambam Shita, you end up performing not just up to one third, but the Brisker Rav says much more than that, way above one third more. And as a result of that, quite obviously, there has to be a reason why the Rambam is not concerned we're just going up to the one third over here. So says Rav Soloveitchik, the Kabbalah he had in the world of Brisk, is that the Hiddur Mitzvah of Chanukah is a unique, distinct din of Hiddur Mitzvah that only applies to Ner Chanukah, and it doesn't apply to the din of Hiddur Mitzvah you have in the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a unique type of Hiddur Mitzvah. And the reason we have this unique type of Hiddur Mitzvah is because, as Rav Soloveitchik says in the world of Brisk, they explain that the reason we emphasize a new din of Hiddur Mitzvah, which is not going to be extrinsic, but it's going to be intrinsic to the actual mitzvah of the Ner Chanukah itself. It's intrinsic part of the mitzvah, integral part of the mitzvah, is because the whole ness of the Pach Shemen itself was based upon Klal Yisrael's desire when they had to relight a menorah and be mechadish, a new chinuch of the menorah, and the Hadlaka Saminon, the Beis HaMikdash, after they purified the temple from the contamination of the Seleucid Greek idolaters, they were searching and seeking to find oil that is Tahar, with the Chesem of the Kohen Gadol, to know that it's never been played with, it's never been touched, to start the Hadlaka Saner in Kedusha V'Tahara. So Chazal point out, in actuality, if they didn't find Shemen Tahar, they could have relied upon the concept that when it comes to Avedis HaMikdash, Tumah, Dechuya, V'Hutra, B'tzibo, they could have used Tomei Dek oil to light if they had no other choice. But they didn't want to rely upon that B'dievet. They wanted L'chachila, T'mechanech, V'Beis HaMikdash, and specifically the menorah, in the state of the Kedusha V'Tara, and not to rely upon a din of Avedis HaTzibah the Migdash of Tumah Dechuya V'Hutra. So the whole miracle, finding a Pach Shemen and shall last 8 days until they're able to manufacture brand new Tardik oil on day 8, day 9 onwards, was based upon the aspirations to do the new Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash and that of the menorah in the format of Hiddur B'Mahadar with the Kedusha V'Tahara. Hashem performed a miracle that it would not only be a mehudah on the first day, it would last to 8 days until Torah Dik Ol could be manufactured and the tumas, the mess of the tumas, the head could be removed. So therefore, since the whole miracle took place because of aspirations of Hiddur Mitzvah, the Hiddur Mitzvah is intrinsic to the concept of Halakas Neros we do today. The second rationale given, this time by the Beis HaLevi, who could obviously was the great-grandfather of my Rebbe Yehuda Soloveitchik, what he says, this is Rebbe Yehuda Soloveitchik, who is one of the Rosh Yeshivas of the Volozhin Yeshiva, the great-grandfather of the Rav, of Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, the father of the Rav Chaim of Brisk, he says that there was another way they could have had the oil last for 8 days without a miracle, and that is by using wicks, which had no specific share of thickness. They used to use thick wicks to make as bright a fire as they possibly could. If you have thick wicks generating light, what ultimately happens because of that is that there's a more of a very beautiful type of light that's generated, that's very bright by lighting a thick wick, using up the oil very quickly, but they put enough oil with this thick wick to last for 24 hours. The fact of the matter is, if they realized they had limited oil, they could, according to Dinei Torah, have diminished the wick down to 1/8 of its width, which means the wick would have drawn less oil each and every day. And b'derech hateva, they could have had the oil there because of a thin wick that's been diminished by 7/8 to 1/8 of its thickness, to have the oil drawn and last for 8 days b'derech hateva before they're able to manufacture pure oil. Since they wanted to start lighting the menorah with a thick wick because of hidr mitzvah, to make the light and fire as beautiful as possible, the aspiration for hidr mitzvah therefore caused them to use the thick wick. And if that's the case, Hashem saw their aspirations for hidr mitzvah, He allowed the hidr mitzvah to miraculously continue for the next 8 days. So they didn't have to diminish their aspiration for starting the mitzvah with a thick wick. Even a thick wick, if Hashem wants, can have the oil literally be used up each and every day, slowly but surely, 1/8 at a time. So the time you come to day 8, there's still oil left in the when it comes to the wick and the crucible of oil to last 8 days to be able to produce for the 9th day pure oil once again. So because the whole miracle took place according to the world of Bris, the world of the Salavachic world, because of aspirations to do the whole hadlaka in the new inauguration of the new menorah with a form of hidr mitzvah, because that was their aspiration. The din of hidr mitzvah chanuk is a special chiddush in the actual chefza, the object of the mitzvah, the halakha saner, and all the halakhas of hidr mitzvah that you have the cholat terah kula, which are extrinsic to the mitzvah, they're add-ons. According to our salvation, when it comes to the Rama's opinion, the hidr mitzvah is intrinsic to the actual miracle itself, and therefore, if that's the case, the din of hidr mitzvah of Chanukah is different in its proportions and its halacha applications, rather than the din of hidr mitzvah applied by kol ha'teira kula. Since the Baalei Tosfos looked upon hidr mitzvah as being extrinsic, what other people perceive about the mitzvah is crucial in the din of hidr mitzvah. That what you do by Torah's hidr has to be realized and seen by others and understood. If you say the hidr mitzvah is intrinsic to the mitzvah, as the Rambam says, the din of hidr mitzvah, therefore, is a din in the chefts of the object of the mitzvah, the menorah, and its oil, its candles. And if that's the case, it's a new din of hidr mitzvah. It doesn't have to be nikkur to others. It has to be nikkur to you who are lighting it. And since you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and how many people you're lighting the candles for that reason, according to the Rambam, the halacha would be that on the first night, you would light, if there are 10 people in the house, 10 candles, the second night 20, the fourth night 40, and by day 8 you're lighting 80 candles, all in one place, one location. What people say outside is halacha irrelevant. This is something that you are being mahada, something you're showing intrinsically is the crucial factor of what you're commemorating by lighting all these candles in the house at that point in time. So for the Rambam, since it's a new din of hidr mitzvah, not doing a kula teder kula, it doesn't have to be nikkur to other people. It has to only be nikkur to the person who's lighting the candles in the household. So therefore, that's why the Rambam allows the mahadrin to be combined together, and it's not a violation of the hidr mitzvah being nikkur to acherim, as the Baalei Tosfos are concerned. So that's one difference between these two camps of thought. But besides that, there's another major chiluk, and that is the question: when you're lighting the candles, is this a chivas yachar, a chov upon each and every family member of the household to light individually themselves? Or is there a concept of this not being a chivas hayachar, a chivas hagavra, but it's a din in a chivas abayas, that the abayas has to have candles lit in it, because the miracle of Chanukah took place in the context of a Jewish household? And let me explain to you what I mean by this. When it comes to lighting candles, if you're saying it's a chivas hagavra, then theoretically speaking, what according to Rashi in the Baalei Tosfos, what you can do, and which the Ramah basically advertises, he says you should do, if it's a chivas gavra on each and every person there, You could have one person light on behalf of everybody, the same way one person makes Kiddush on behalf of all the people sitting together. You have various mitzvahs that one person does the brachas, Avdal, on behalf of all the participants. And in fact, you could have there one person lighting one menorah, and each and every night you're adding an extra candle, the Mahadim and Ahadrin, and not according to the Bnei Beisa, but according to the Moisev HaHilach of Beis Hillel, in level number 3 of Mahadim and Mahadrin. One person is lighting on behalf of everybody. You can do it that way. But the Ramah says if you want to have everybody have the ability to have a personal Hadlokas Haner Chanukah, what you can also do is have everybody who wants to do this have in mind that not being Yotze with the bracha of Halakas Ner Chanukah of the first person who's lighting. Everybody should light their own private menorah in a different location. So anybody who sees your menorah realizes it's basically two people lighting, not one person lighting many lights. They should realize, but obviously these are separate mitzvahs being done by different members of the household, putting the menorah in different locations, which is advised by the Ramah in Siman Tofresh Ayin Aleph to fulfill Shita's Tesis and Rashi and the concerns of Tesis Rashi, to have therefore every B'nai Bayis being involved, allowing the own menorah to show their involvement, not all of them being put in the same exact location. So therefore, according to that Shita, it's a Chayves HaGavra. That's the, according to the Bala Tesis, Rashi Tesis, and the way the Ramah seems to interpret this in Psak Halacha. But according to the Rambam's Mahalach, the Rambam says, who did all the lighting of these candles? The Rambam says very explicitly that the Halacha is, it's a mitzvah of the Bayis. The Bayis should have candles lit in it. It's a Chayvus Abayis. And why is it a Chayvus Abayis? So Rav Soloveitchik says, when you want to learn Rambam, you got to learn all of the Rambams. And the Rambam wrote a special treatise called the Maima al Kiddush Hashem. You know, people risking their lives to perform Torah and Mitzvahs even against Gezeros. And he points out historically, if you look at the Seleucid Greek persecution of the Jews, their major persecution was a religious persecution. To mevatel us from Torah and Mitzvahs, as I explained last week, and to basically convert us from Judaism to Hellenism. We should accept their religion, Hellenism, rather than be observers of Judaism doing our Tayag Mitzvahs. And they tried to knock out our major mitzvah of Shabbos and Bris Milah and other things of major chashivas, but they were against all of our mitzvahs, lock, stock, and barrel from the beginning to end. And one of the ways they wanted to prevent Jews from doing mitzvahs is they didn't want Jews to hide in their house and do mitzvahs behind a closed door, because they knew Jews could do that. So one of the gzeres of the Seleucid Greeks against us was to have the doorway of the Jewish household always open. So if somebody came in from the Greek army to inspect immediately what's going on in the interior of the house, are people performing mitzvahs illegally? So the open door of the house would therefore have to stay open to keep you in a state of fear, not to be caught by them doing mitzvahs against their rules and regulations, and they would kill you if basically speaking they found you doing that. So if that's the case, the Gzeira itself, according to the Rambam, was really on the Beis Yehudi, on the house of the Jew, not being the Mokum upon which and to which mitzvahs are done to preserve Torah mitzvahs secretively against the will of the Seleucid Greeks. The Rambam therefore feels, as explained by Rav Soloveitchik and others, that when Chazal wanted to make the Ness of Chanukah a Ness, they made it a Chayv of the Bayis, to have the menorah placed, interestingly, where the mezuzah is on the right side of the open door to your house. The menorah should be outside to the left side. You should be mesubah, surrounded by mitzvahs, to show you that from this point on, we're not worried of doing mitzvahs even externally, let alone internally, because the gzeirah of the chashmonaim was batul mevutol. They're no longer here on planet to prevent us from doing teirah of the mitzvahs. So it is the bias, the chayva of the bias, to have candles lit in order to show our religious freedoms have been regained And Chanukah commemorates Hashem's intervention miraculously for us to accomplish this. Therefore, for the Rambam, what used to happen is that the Baal HaBayis, whoever is the house of the whole, if he wanted to do the mitzvah of a Mahadrim and a Mahadrim fashion, on the first night, if there were 10 people in the family, he used to light lights outside in front of the house of 10 candles. On the second night, he used to light outside candles, 20 candles. One person lighting numbers of candles corresponding to B'nai Beiso alone, outside the house. So by the time he came to light the night number 8, he lit 80 candles outside to show that every candle is being lit, not only because of Maisa V'Hilich of Beis Hillel, because of the Pirsim HaNes, each day the Nes became bigger and bigger, but every member in the household should be represented by a candle being lit on their behalf as well. But it's not a chayva on the person, it's a chayva on the household, which is being fulfilled by the Baal HaBayis on behalf of everybody in the house. So we have now a machlokas between the Rambam and the Baal HaTesis, where the mitzvah lukas neros is a chayva sayachit on the person, or a chayva on the bayis, which is shitas HaRambam. Another major difference between them. But now I want to go a little deeper. When it comes to the actual lighting of the neros, the Gemara tells us, if you look very carefully in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, that after the Nitzach Mechama took place, Baruch Hashem, and the lighting of the menorah, which miraculously lasted for 8 days, took place, only a year later did they finally make this into a full-fledged Yom Tov, Yom Tovim, with Hallel, V'Hidah, and obviously lighting the menorah is part of the celebration of this. But the question is, what does Hallel V'Hidah mean? So one thing is for sure, everybody interprets Hallel to mean that we have to recite full Hallel as we do on a regular Yom Tov, a Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. We have to say the full Hallel on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And that is a form of Pirsum HaNes, that we basically are Mefrasim the Nes, and we are saying Hallel to Hashem, thanking Hashem, because, quite obviously speaking, the miracle that he performed at the time of the miracle of the Nitzach HaMulchama and the miracle that happened to the menorah as well. But there also, besides the Hallel, we say Hodah, and according to the Rashi and Mefarshim in the Gemara inside, the Haidah that's being mentioned is the Alanisi we recite in the Sheman Esrei, as I discussed last week. But if you look in the Rambam's formulation of this, in Hilchos Chanukah, we find something a little different. No question he requires us to say Hallel, okay, but he goes one step further. He says, I want you to know that over here, the concept of lighting the candles, when you light candles, b'chol laila v'laila, it says laharos u'legalas hanes. The purpose is to show and to reveal what the miracle was as the miracle took place. Okay, the Rambam then says later on in a much more in-depth elaboration, what's the mitzvah near Chanukah? Mitzvah chaviva ma'od is very beloved mitzvah. Tzarech Adam lehizar b'chabar kedei lehodia nes, that when we light the candles, we're being modia the miracle of what took place in time of antiquity. Ulahoseh b'shevech hakel v'haydaya. The lighting of the candles is also a statement of shevech v'haydaya, which the Gemara alludes to. Alanisim sh'as alonim, for the miracles Hashem performed for us. So if that's the case, according to the Rambam, the lighting of the candles itself is a form of Hallel V'Hidah, independent of the recitation of Hallel itself. He doesn't even mention Alanisim, and the Rav said the reason is because the Alanisim is part of the Chavas HaTfilah to mention the essence of the day that Me'im Ur, mentioned by the Rambam in Hilchas Tefilah. So there's no reason for him to have to mention saying Alanisim in Hilchas Chanukah, because that's already mentioned in his Hilchas Tefilah. Over here, he's mentioning that the actual lighting is not only a pirsum of the miracle, but the lighting of the candles is a Hallel V'Hidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the intrinsic miracle that took place that caused this miracle of the Ner Chanukah and the Nisach HaMelchamah to take place, that the Hal of Hador is accomplished even by the lighting of the candles. It's intrinsic to them. And we have a principle. Baraivam Hadras Melech. The more that are involved in giving Hador and Halal to Hashem, the greater is of Hadras Melech, giving cover and respect to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hador to Hashem. If that's the case, by having a lot of candles representing the entire family to mefasten the miracle that took place, that's a Baraivam Hadras Melech, is a hider intrinsic to the Chefza of the mitzvah of the lighting of the candle. So if that's the case, according to the Rambam, the actual activity where the whole tzibur is yotzeh by the lighting of the balabayas, whoever's in charge of lighting that night, he's serving as the shliach tzibur to do the mitzvah on behalf of everybody in the household. As a shliach tzibur, he's being moti them in the chayv of this mitzvah being done, but it's being done as a corporate mitzvah, b'revam hadas melech. Having 80 candles lit on the eighth night, if you have 10 family members, is a tremendous hiddur mitzvah, a tremendous haidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, according to the Rambam, one person is doing this on behalf of everybody, and once he does it, nobody else lights their candles separately by themselves. It was all performed by the Baal HaBayis, since it's a chavis HaBayis, not a chavis HaYachid, a chav on each and every person. It's a chav in the Baal HaBayis on a miracle that took place because of the salvation of the Jewish households, that they were restored to having mitzvahs done both inside and outside without any fear and trepidation. That's why the Rambam says the formulation of the miracle of the Nes of Chanukah was orchestrated by Chazal. If that's the case, there's no need for everybody to do the lighting by themselves. One person could be motzi the entire tzibur, as a shliach tzibur be motzi everybody in the special tefillah he does on behalf of the tzibur. We brave Hamasmel, the more people that are davening together and are there for Chazaras, the shots when the person is doing or a person is making Kiddush on behalf of an entire Olam or making Hazorah Olam, more people that are participating and being yotzed with that, what person says, it's a great hider and haidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mace, that's the miracle of the Ner of Chanukah, according to the Rambam, that's distinct and unique, different than Rashi and the Baalei Tosfos. You'll ask me, okay, Rabbi Flam, we hear this lamdis, but what is some halacha nafkaminis between the Shita Sarambam and the Shita of the Baalei Tosfos? And over here, I'm going to give you four different chilukim according to these respective shitas. Number one is, how many neros do you have to give to an ani if they don't have the ability to light candles? How many neros are you supposed to give? So according to Rav Soloveitchik, and he's quoting the Mishnah Berurah and others who say this, if you say it's a din of hidar mitzvah b'chol ha-tayar kula to have or the mahadrim, but me'ikadin, one there per household is sufficient. For an ani, we therefore only have to give 8 candles for the entire yanta, 1 candle per night, to be yotze the ikar mitzvah for the concept of helping aniyim perform the mitzvah. Because the hiddur over there is a din of zakelam via above and beyond what the ikar mitzvah is. And by ani, you only mechuyev to give them what is the ikar mitzvah, 1 candle per night. Ishu beiso, 1 candle, rather than giving him the hidurim as well. But according to the Shita Sarambam, who says halach lemasa, that the din of hidur mitzvah is intrinsic to the Ner Chanukah itself, it's not some outside superimposed concept of hidur mitzvah b'chol ha-tayar kula, but it's intrinsic to the actual lighting of the menorah itself. According to the Rambam Shita, you would have to supply the ani with all the candles he needs to be yosef the Shita Mahadim and Hadim, according to Beis Hillel, that the Moshe V'Hilech, the first night 1 candle, the second night 2 candles, and by the last night of Ebelag 8 candles, that will be a chiv of the Hidur Mitzvah, which is Me'ika Hadin over there. It's intrinsic to the Mitzvah itself. Now it's a din of Sheva Hidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would have to give him all the candles you need for one person in lighting the whole menorah, as every other person who has financial resources to do such. It wouldn't be sufficient to give him 1 candle per night. That would be the Shita Sarambam, according to the way the Rav explains it. That's one nafkamina. The next nafkamina is, what is the candle you basically start to light from each and every night? We know we start always with the candle on the right. What do you do on day number two or day number three? Which candle is lit first? So Rav Soloveitchik says, if you hold like the Shitas of Rashi and Balei Tosfos, you always start quite obviously the first night with one candle on the right. That's all you have. But on night number two, the Rav said that the Dilnagon wanted to claim, according to Rashi and Tosfos, you would also start the light with the right-hand candle, not with the additional candle. Because the Ikar Mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beisa. That's what the Baruch is made upon. All the subsequent candles is the din of Hidah Mitzvah Cholav Teder Kula, upon which you don't make brachas for doing. So therefore, you should be lighting, according to this, from right to left, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the way the Rav explained their specific Shita. But according to the Rambam, if the din of Hidah Mitzvah is not extrinsic, but it's intrinsic to the concept of the unique of Hidah Mitzvah that applies by Sheva Haidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enlightening the Neros of Chanukah, if that's the case, you always start each day from the Ner HaNosef. So on the second day, you'll go from left to right. You know, the second candle to the first. On the third night, you'll go from the third candle, which is on the left, all the way to the right, to, because the HaNosef HaHilech is part of the Hidah Mitzvah, which is intrinsic. It's not superimposed from outside as the Keli Van Veyu. You also have to go from left to right each and every night to be Yotze according to the Shita Sarambam. Nafkamina number three. Can you light the candles one from another without having to have a Shamish? So our Salvation says, if you hold like Shitas Rashi and Balei Tosfos, where the Iker is one candle and everything else is a din of Hidah up and above the call of duty, you would have to therefore not light the extra candles from one candle that you lit to be Yotzei Iker Mitzvah. That's why we have one of the reasons you add a Shamish in, that the lighting of the candles is done by an extra Ner that's not part of the actual Minyan HaNeros, that should give light to each and every one of the candles, not one candle that was the Iker, one light that's the Iker HaMitzvah. So the use of a Shamish has many purposes over there. Not only that you shouldn't be nena from the neros that you light for the mitzvah, but you should be nena from the light of the shamish, but the shamish is needed to light each and every candle separately. You can't light from one ner to another ner. If you hold like Shita Sarama, says Rav Soloveitchik, that all the neros are part of one big mitzvah, and the din of Hidah Mitzvah is intrinsic to all the neros you're lighting that night, each ner is equal to each other in kedusha and significance and importance. Therefore, you can light from Ner to Ner, according to Rav Soloveitchik, when it comes to this. The Shamish's only purpose is that you shouldn't be Nena to the Aras being litten, but theoretically you could light from one candle to another candle of the actual eight candles without having the Shamish to be used. Nevertheless, we do it, but the fact is theoretically you could light from Nena there, according to the Shitas HaRambam. So that basically is a third Nafkamina Halacha L'masa. The fourth Nafkamina is, what happens if you lit the first candle without making a bracha? Can I make a bracha before I light the second or third or fourth candle I have to light that night? So Rav Soloveitchik says this depends upon Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam's Machlokes. If you hold like Rashi and Tosfos that the Iker is lighting one candle and all the other stuff is just a Torah, a Hidur Mitzvah, but Iker then you don't need the other ones, you don't make brachas on Hidurim, you make brachas on Iker HaMitzvah. So if that's the case, if I forgot to make the bracha on the first candle being lit, even though I have to light other candles because of Hidur, I wouldn't make the bracha on 2 and 3 and 4 if I forgot to do on the first one. So I'd be yotze without a bracha. Bracha is not ma'akev. That would be according to Rashi or the Shita of Tosfos. But according to the Rambam, who says that all the candles are one big chefza of the Iker Mitzvah, where the whole lighting of all these candles is part of the Sheva Hidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu and part of the Tzura of how the mitzvah is supposed to be done as the Chavis Abayis. If I got to make the bracha on the first candle, I can make the bracha on the second or the third, and it's still Ovel HaSiyasin because all of them are one big chefz of mitzvah. So therefore, there will be another halachic nafkamina between the Rambam and Balei Tosfos when it comes to their respective shitas. What's interesting and fascinating, halacha l'masa, Talmidim and Talmidais, is, you know, when you get to the Shulchan Aruch, you find in the Ramah, and you find the fact that the Yosef Karo come up with their respective opinions of what is the proper conduct over here, what you're supposed to do. Now, it's interesting that according to the technical analysis of the world of Brisk, there's some things that we do today which are quite interesting and fascinating seem to be a combination in certain respects of the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos and Rashi. And I'll explain to you what I mean. In actuality, the Rambam writes that even though he held with a 10th family mishpacha, you could light, technically speaking, 10 candles for a 10th member family each and every night, and by the 8th night you light 80 candles, despite the Shitas HaRambam, he brings down that it was a minig ha-pashut in a good part of the Sfardish world where he was the Pesach, that kol anshei bayis would basically only have one menorah lit the entire 8-day period. And the first night we would have one candle, the second night two candles, the eighth night eight candles. Whether it's a big household or a small household, one menorah for the whole family being lit by the balabais, whoever's been designated, that was the minhag that seemed to be inspired, despite the fact that Rambam held, if you really wanted to do Mahadran, you should be doing according to the Anshei Beisel as well, and one person should be lighting by Hinaf if everybody. That didn't seem to be the minhag of Moses Farad, and that's really the psak of the Mechaber Reish Ayin Aleph when it comes to where he paskins. It's the Shita Sarambam, but not his own personal interpretation, but the minhag that was in Sfarad. When it comes, quite obviously, to the Shita of the Balei Tosfos and Rashi, where they seem to say that you either do the Mahadrin, one candle per person each and every night, or Mahadrin, your Moisav HaHoylech, an extra candle each and every night, but you basically don't have more than one menorah being lit. What the Ramah basically suggested to do, based upon some early Kadmonishim amongst the Achreinim, is to try to take away the problem of people misinterpreting and misunderstanding what you're doing. Don't light multiple menorahs in one location. Light them in different locations so each person can do the mitzvah themselves. It's a chavis agavra on your person, not a din of a concept of a chavis abayas, as the Rambam said. Each one should put the menorah someplace else. Each one should be meis v'holich each and every night. And that was the way the Ramah says, if you want to be yotzer, and have mind not to be yotzer with the bracha that's recited by the father of the house when he's lighting his, you're going to have a mind to light your own with a separate brachas in a separate location. That would be what the Ramah basically paskins, following the Mahalach of the Balei Tosfos and Rashi, who says it's a Chavis Gavra, not a Chavis Abayis, like the Shita HaRambam. Another thing that's interesting is most people today, whether you're Sfadi or Ashkenazi, usually light the Ner HaNosef each every night, so you go from left to right. But the Vilna Gaon said, technically, if you really want to be a Makbil when it comes to Shitas Rashi and Tosfos, the way I explained it to you, you should always be lighting from right to left to be Yotzei Der Shifta, because the first candle that's lit is Halach Lamasa, the Ikar Mitzvah. Everything else is the extra din of Zakeli Van Vehu. I mean, that's the way it should be done. But we see in even the Ashkenazic world that follow the Shitas HaRamah, it seems they still light in the Ner HaNosef, because in their mind, at the end of the day, lighting one candle, no matter where it's located on the menorah, is the Ikar lighting. All the other stuff is additional phenomena. So once you lit one candle, whether it's on the right or to the left, or in any direction, once candle is lit and the Ikar mitzvah is done, everything else is the Kelim Veyos at that point in time. So if you go to left or right, it's as good as going for right to left, as long as one candle was lit for Ikar mitzvah. That probably explains why we do what we do today. So we see from all of this, as we just, you know, in retrospect, that halacha lamasa, we have different mehagim existing in Klal Yisrael.
You are listening,
and at
to
the end of the day,
Torah.
The basic yisaydistik of machlekes that I want you to remember from all of this is a machlekes of exactly two things. Number one, is this a chavis abayis or a chavis hayachid? That's the machlekes between the Rambam and many of the other Rishon. The Rambam says it's a chavis abayis, and according to the Shita of the Rashi and Tosfos, it's a chavis hayachid. So, and when a Balei Bayis lies on behalf of everybody, He's acting as their shliach, as their representative, and lighting the candles on their specific half. According to the Rambam, what he's doing is he's being yotz the chiv of the chivas abayis to mafasim the nesbederim, and that itself, one person lights on behalf of everybody. It's not a din shlichus, it's not a chivas ayachid, it's a chivas abayis. The second major chilik between them is the din of hita mitzvah that applies to the Yom Tov Echanik, a din of hita mitzvah b'cholat teira kula, or is it a special din of hita mitzvah unique and distinct to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? To say differently, is it an extrinsic phenomenon added on to Ner Chanukah, like by other mitzvahs, as a kele v'aveyu, we did do this up and above the base of chiyav mitzvah to show your love and chavivas for the mitzvah, so you add to what has to be done in a much more enhanced fashion, but it's extrinsic to the mitzvah, shita sarashi balei tesis, or as the Rambam says, that the actual kelos that are added in are intrinsic to the actual mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Not only are they intrinsic to it, but they're part of the Ika HaMitzvah, not a Teis Sefes. And therefore, the more candles you light, but Rav Ahad El Smelech, the more Halal V'Hidah and Shef you're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the case, there won't be corporate mitzvah of a Chavis HaBayis, and therefore one person can light on behalf of everybody, everything in one location, with no problem whatsoever, Shita Sarambam. This is the way the Rav Rasalevichik Zatzal explained, according to the world of Brisk, the different minhagim we have when it comes to lighting the Chanukah. Of course, quite obviously, this is an Elu v'Elu, Dira L'Kim Chayim. Both of them are respected shitos, and most people who want to mekayim both and are not brave enough to do what the Rambam says. Because even in Sfarad, they didn't do what the Rambam says. They're just one menorah on behalf of the entire family. Those who are brave to want to do what the Rambam does, we have to be very careful not to set the house afire, to light 80 candles in one place in one location. So the little sakonidik. But nevertheless, the Rambam says that's the way he would have done it, according to the Ika theory of Hashkof, of what the whole mitzvah is all about. What we do, if we follow the Ramah, is basically like a menorah per person is a chavis garen in different locations. So each person is supervising their menorah to make sure nothing happens. It's in different places. Everybody knows who's watching from outside what your kavan is to light, how many candles are lighting for each and every night. So I would say, by and large, that's the meaning that most people follow, especially in the Ashkenazic world. And halacha lamasa, as I said, these are two different camps of thought. Whatever you do l'shem shemayim. And halavai, the pirtsam hanes that Hashem gave us with the nitzachim l'chama and with the ness of the menorahs. I explained last week how the menorah showed that the echus of the armed combatants of Klai Yisrael's army were kainim, gedolim, tzadikim, and tahirim, oizki terasecha, that their echas, their quality, overpowered the kamas of the giborim, the strength, and the merubim, the number of Greek soldiers that had to fight. Echas of the kamas was the secret of the milchama, as I mentioned last week, of the nisach milchama, and echas of the kamas was demonstrated tangibly with a little bit of nair, of oil, having the ability with the change, as I mentioned last week, of the burning factor to make it more efficient, that the oil should burn not just in one day in a 24-hour period, but should last for 8 days as Echus overcomes Kamus, that the Echus of the actual burn factor of the oil was able to overcome the Kamus, the minimum amount of oil that was available to allow that miracle to take place for 8 days. These Nisim complemented one another, the one bigness, and therefore Hashem should give us the ability, at the world that we're living in, we might be outnumbered by a non-Jewish world who are full of anti-Semites all over, but we should not be fearful. We should not have any dread. The Rabbeinu Shem, who's Mashkiach B'tachtenim U'Belyonim, Al-Eretz Kavod Hashem, whose presence is all over, he makes sure, as we always say, that in every generation, if people come along and want to destroy the Jews, no matter where we're living, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzeleinim Yodem Neschus V'Teira V'Mitzvos, Let's hope and pray in the concept of the Torah we're learning and the davening we're doing with intensity and the acts of learning Torah and performing mitzvahs and acts of chesed, that Hashem should give us the spiritual merit. Lo b'koyach v'lo b'chakim b'ruch Hashem s'mar tzavokos. The pasuk says in Zechariah, it's not by the size of your army or the strength of your military power, but it's based upon the ruchnius of the Torah and mitzvahs. The Kedushas Hashem that Hashem gave us in Hatzelam Akim that gives us the ability to do the Vorim that Alamalami Darachateva throughout Jewish history. And hopefully, as the miracles are continuing, we'll be Menatzeach in our current Milchama that ironically is taking place during the Yom Tov of Chanukah as well. Starting in Simchas Torah, now we're having the Lichtigkeit of Chanukah show that slowly but surely we seem to be winning this war. And the Simchas Torah means that despite their desires to destroy us, on the day of Simchas Torah we want to sameach with the ruchnius of the Torah, which has kept us going for the last 2 months, and slowly but surely with the lighting of the candles that are being done by the Chayalim, even in the Shas Akana during the Milchama, and the learning of Daf Yomi that I see taking place by the soldiers when they have a free time to learn. It's unbelievable how Art Scroll has given our Chayalim the ability to continue the Daf Yomi learning when they have quiet periods of time when they're not fighting the war itself. It's incredible how I saw the other day that the head of Art Scroll, the editor, came. There's a lot of it came to Eretz Yisrael, and he went and he was speaking to a pilot, one of the fighter jets. And the pilot said to him, thank you very much for giving me the Daf Yomi. Our Masecht is Bava Kam that we're learning now. We want to continue learning Daf Yomi. Is when I'm not flying my missions, I'm going to be sitting and learning. This is a unique army that we have, an army that we should be proud of, an army that's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, the way they treat even their enemies in trying to take care of them and prevent them being harmed if they don't have to be harmed. I saw a little case the other night where a little girl, a Palestinian girl, was hurt with her feet, and the Hamas and those chevra couldn't care the least what happened to her. And the Jewish medics went, and before my eyes, I was able to see on the screen, they sat this little girl down, 4-year-old girl, and were treating her while taking care of her wounds to make sure that she wouldn't hurt, she'd be able to walk away being saved and wouldn't have any nezek consequence. She's not a fighter. She's an innocent civilian over there. This is the Rachmonis, Rachmova Kamasov, that Klal Yisrael have, that no other army on the face of this earth would spend the time and effort to do things like this. With the schus of our Rachmonis and Chesed and love and emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Shishuas Yeshuas, the Nitzchonios, be able to menatzeach and have incredible Yeshuas, facilitating the ultimate Bias HaMashiach, building of the Beis HaMikdash, relighting once again the menorah HaGadela HaTehidah, HaKadosha, the golden menorah and the brand new Beis HaMikdash, Amen, 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 Chen Hiratzon, a wonderful Chanukah Sameach to everybody, to you and your families.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.